As New Hampshire tries to address opiate abuse, leaders in the state often focus on increasing the number of treatment beds and programs. Part of NHPR's series Dangerous Ends, Emily Corwin reports, staffing those programs may be much harder than actually building them.
When James Newman was 15, he started drinking. At age 17, he started using heroin. Age 20, he tried rehab. Fail, repeat. Then at 22, Newman moved into Phoenix House, a 28-day residential program in Keene. That's when he met his addiction counselor.
Alice. She's a friggin' saint. She is the reason why I'm sober today, because she was my counselor when I got here. She's a friggin' angel.
Today, Newman has a 15-month-old baby, a house, and he's getting married. For the last 2 years, he's been coming back here to Phoenix House for ongoing recovery support. But he says his counselors just keep leaving.
I had Jen Whitehead, and then she left. And then another counselor came, she left. And then I believe another one came, and then she left.
The problem is not just turnover. There's a shortage of addiction treatment staff all across the country. It's really bad in New Hampshire. In Manchester, Serenity Place has been trying to hire an addiction counselor for over a year. Clinics in Bethlehem, Somersworth, Nashua, they all can't find staff. And here at Phoenix House, Director Amelie Gooding has spent the last year and a half trying to hire and keep someone.
I mean, it's frustrating in the sense if I'm training really good people and they're working here and I can't reward them sufficiently, either financially or otherwise, that they want to stay. But even more frustrating is I don't have any applicants.
Since she's short one counselor, Gooding has to leave 3 of her 18 beds empty, and she can only enroll half as many outpatient clients.
Everybody thinks it's like, oh, there's not enough beds, but there's not enough treatment staff to open more beds.
So what's going on here?
For me, it got to be sort of too heavy.
Melissa Chickering is one of the counselors who used to work for Gooding. She has a master's level addiction counseling license, she has a mental health counseling license, and 10 years of experience. Clinical directors around New Hampshire would probably give their right arm to hire someone like that. But Chickering spends her days teaching psychology and health science students at Antioch and Keene State.
I think there's a lot of guilt involved, and I do feel like I should be doing more or helping more, or like I've abandoned the field or something.
Over the years, Chickering says, witnessing so much suffering and so many early deaths, it takes a toll. But what really drove her out, she says, is anemic funding and poor coordination from the state.
You would have multiple different funding sources with multiple different regulations that refuse to work well together.
At an adolescent treatment center in Dublin, the state required Chickering to reserve some beds for court-ordered clients, others for state-subsidized clients, and a third set of beds for privately insured.
And so there was one point that I was working there that I had open beds physically, but a girl came in and was on the waiting list, and she just didn't have the right funding. So she died while she was sitting on the waiting list. And I went home that night and I was like, I had an open bed. Like, she could have been in treatment. She could have been getting treatment. And instead, she died. And like, how do you reconcile that? Like, how do you sit with that and be okay the next day?
Chickering is not the only one to leave clinical work. In 2015, 39 people joined the ranks of licensed addiction treatment counselors. But then 35 counselors let their licenses expire. So the state netted a total of only 4 new licensees. And for those who can withstand the exposure to trauma, other things will drive you out. Last year, one of James Newman's counselors, Jen Whitehead, went from outpatient care at Phoenix House to addiction prevention work at Keene High School.
The pay is better. The pay is better. And the schedule is better.
Ballpark, master's level addiction treatment counselors here make $40,000 to $55,000 a year. And these numbers already reflect increased reimbursements under Medicaid expansion and the Affordable Care Act. More money is coming into the system. Joe Harding directs drug and alcohol services for the state. He says New Hampshire's new 5-year, $150 million grant from the Federal Medicaid Office is going to go a long way.
And that's going to be for local communities, which is where the services take place.
None of those funds are earmarked for workforce development. As far as recruitment goes, there is a small school loan repayment program for counselors in New Hampshire's underserved regions. But compared to statewide efforts to recruit a STEM workforce, for example, social work and counseling programs get relatively little attention. Harding does hope to convince some of the state's 2,000 generalist mental health counselors and social workers to join the substance abuse ranks. It turns out they don't even need a specialized addiction treatment license.
You know, this is also within their scope of practice, but some of them may not feel like they've had adequate training or resources available to them.
His department subsidizes training programs that help generalists make the transition. The question is, will there be enough funding and support to convince them to come help and get them to stay? For NHPR News, I'm Emily Corwin.